book of John, chapter 18. I've been working through this wonderful gospel and looking at the different movements of the book of John, and approaching now the fifth of the six movements of John. The fourth movement was the upper room ministry, which was from chapters 13 to 16, and then include the high priestly prayer to follow in chapter 17. And there, of course, the Lord was speaking to, after Judas left, he spoke and taught to the 11 many things that are important to us that's expanded upon in more detail later in the epistles, such as the Holy Spirit and his return. And these things were and reiterated many things he said in the previous movement when he was speaking in the open air to all those that were opposing him, truth about his deity. So he reiterated these truths to the 11. And so then coming into chapter 18, beginning this next section, we find chapters 18 and 19, things concerning the cross, the Son of God approaching his hour. And so in chapter 18, the first 11 verses, we see there the obtaining of the Lord by the band of men as the Lord was there in prayer. And you compare it to the other gospels and you see the details of what's going on, and we see him in prayer and yet taken away as Judas Iscariot would approach him with a kiss. And how ironic that is. But so at the beginning of the upper room ministry, chapter 13, the Lord spoke and prophesied about Judas betraying him and Peter denying him. We come to chapter 18, both of those things come to pass. So the beginning of the chapter, we see Judas had brought the band of men in, and of course when he said, "I am," identifying himself, they all fall back. And so what a miraculous thing that would have been. This could have been a band of men, may have been, I understand, maybe even hundreds of people. So regardless of how many, they fell back. And I've wondered before, I wonder if any of those people ever turned to the Lord after the cross, or just recalling what happened to them at that day. I just wonder about that. But so I would like to pick up at verse 12. Verse 12, and look at the middle of chapter 18. Now that the Lord has been taken, we see that the various trials or examinations of him will begin. He'll be examined by Annas, and he'll be sent to Caiaphas, and then of course the Sanhedrin, the council. So we could call that like the religious aspect, the religious trials and examination of the Lord. And then following the more civil trials, and those three, you see Pilate, and then he's sent to Herod, and then as we know, he goes back to Pilate. So I just want to think a little bit about these verses 12 to 27, and as he's led away. Verse 12, then the band and the captain and officers of the Jews took Jesus and bound him, and led him away to Annas first, for he was father-in-law to Caiaphas, which was the high priest that same year. Now Caiaphas was he which gave counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. We'll stop there for the moment here. He's referring back to things that were said by this Caiaphas. If you go back to chapter 11, there at the end of that chapter, this is right after the raising up of Lazarus, when he said, "I am the resurrection and the life." In 11 and 49, as you see, chief priests and the Pharisees, and this is still in that section when there's great opposition to Christ. And verse 47, then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, "What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. And if we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, named Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said unto them, "Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that he also should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. And so from that day forth, they took counsel together for him to put him to death. So you see that being referred to. We come back to chapter 18. And of course, at that situation, it seemed like there's more of a political motivations going on and concerned about, you know, issues with the Romans and so on. But nonetheless, this was said. And then here we come and we find out what's going on when he actually has Christ in his presence here. So we notice that. But in these verses, it is interesting to see in verse 13 a bit of a kind of application here. That word led, and they led him away. You notice again down in verse 28 in the next section, then led they Jesus from Caiaphas unto the hall of judgment. And the cross in chapter 19, when you get into the chapter dealing with the cross itself, 19:16, then delivered he him therefore unto them to be crucified, and they took Jesus and led him away. And so this one, the Lord Jesus, being led, just think of him as a lamb before his shears, he opened not his mouth. We see this one, our Savior, such as Isaiah 53:7, he was oppressed, he was afflicted, he opened not his mouth, he is brought as a lamb, or led as a lamb, but to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. So we think of all this, the process and the circumstance, one right after another, how so many of these things were actually tied into the Old Testament. Part of the prophecies we see from like Isaiah and others, things that would happen to him. So we pick up back in our text and read there beginning of verse 15. So in verse 15 to 18, we kind of step away from what's happening directly to the Lord, and it's back to Peter. And so we find in verse 15 to 18, we find, again, the fulfillment of what the Lord said in the upper room in chapter 13. This time it's Peter, that you will deny me thrice before it will crow twice. And so, oh no, Lord, I'll die for you, says Peter. Well, now we find in the section here, it's going to talk about his first denial, verses 15 to 18. And then we pick up at verse 25 to 27 in the second and third denial is addressed there. So in seeing this, it's interesting. You can compare it to the other gospels. And I believe in those gospels, it might be more consecutively listed. Here, there's like a gap where the denials are in the flow. Some of the gospels are more chronological flow, and some are more topical flow. But nonetheless, what you notice when you compare these gospels, one is that we see Peter afar off. So it's like he's near, but he's afar off. And it says different times in the gospels, he was there near warming himself. So he was close. He would deny the Lord these three times. So here's the first denial, verse 15. And Simon Peter followed Jesus, and so did another disciple, that Jesus, that disciple was known unto the high priest, and went in with Jesus into the palace of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door without. Then went out that other disciple, which was known unto the high priest, and spake unto her that kept the door, and brought in Peter. Then saith the damsel that kept the door unto Peter, art thou not also one of this man's disciples? He saith, I am not. And the servants and the officers stood there who had made a fire of coals, and it was cold, and they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. So it's interesting, like in any of the narratives in the Gospels, particularly around the cross, I think it's so interesting to kind of read each of the Gospels and see, you know, it's maybe a little different wording. Sometimes you might find a word that stands out in your mind in that situation. You're like, oh, okay, it's not here. Oh, well, if I turn to another gospel, well, there it is. More detail, the wording is expanded or something. So, well, with that, he denies the Lord before this damsel. So we go back to the flow of what's going on with the Lord, verse 19. And so here we see the Lord responding. So here it's going to be helpful to try to go look at some of the other gospels, maybe more specifically. Verse 19, the high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. Jesus answered him, I spake openly to the world. I ever taught in the synagogue and in the temple, whether the Jews always resort. And in secret have I said nothing. Why askest thou me? Ask them which heard me, what I have said unto them, behold, they know what I said. And so they question his disciples, his doctrine, and here the Lord gives a response. So with that response, verse 22, we see how they deal with him. Now we're going to begin to see he's already been bound. We begin to see now the abuses upon our Lord by the hands of man becoming more prevalent. But now to look at here in verse 22, we see that he's struck. And when he had thus spoken, one of the officers which stood by struck Jesus with the palm of his hand, saying, Answerest thou the high priest so? Jesus answered him, If I have spoken evil, bear witness of the evil, but if well, why smitest thou me? And so we have a little glimpse of it here, but really you need to turn to the other gospels to see about the false witnesses that are at this point, to see about more descriptions about the abuses that man would put upon him physically. And he's either also going to bring to bear in the other gospels, he's going to point to the fact that he's coming back one day in power and great glory. So it's good to read all the passages. So let me at least read some of them. Let's put a finger here and go to Matthew 26. Well, let's do Mark instead. Mark 14. So if you're taking note, it would be in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. So in Mark 14, and I'll read there at verse 55. Now, keep in mind, at some point, with Caiaphas, it's going to open up to where he's the council. The Sanhedrin is also involved. So as you go back and forth in the Gospels, you see that they're going to be there with him at some point. So 14:55, and the chief priests and all the council sought for a witness against Jesus to put him to death, and found none. For many bear false witness against him, but their witness agreed not together. And there arose certain and bear false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and within 3 days I will build another made without hands. But neither so did their witness agree together. So, of course, this is looking back at John 2. There, right after that first miracle, turning the water to wine in Cana of Galilee, following that's whenever he turns over the tables of the money changers, the first time that he would do that. And he speaks of, you know, his body, the temple, and of course he's not talking about destroying the building before them. But so they try to pull that up and say, look, you know, look what this person's threatening. And so false witnesses. And then we move on and read verse 60. The high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, saying, Answerest thou nothing? What is it which these witness against thee? But he held his peace and answered nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am. And ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven. So as you again compare the different readings, the different gospels, it's very powerful the things that he says here. You know, even though it's not really one of the I Ams per se, of the seven I Ams, just like when the people fell back, it still kind of stands out. He says, I am. So our minds by this time going through John and all the I Ams, it's just easy to think, oh, here he is linking himself back in a sense to the burning bush and Moses, and the great I Am is speaking. So here he's given a reply, but nonetheless, you know, our minds can still go to the fact of the sense of, you know, other times he uses I Am as a title. But having said that, we could read verse 63, then the high priest rent his clothes and said, what need we any further witnesses? Ye have heard the blaspheme. What think ye? And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. And some began to spit on him, to cover his face, to buffet him, and say unto him, prophesy. And the servants did strike him with the palm of their hands. And so I'll just read one more. That's Luke 22 in connection with this. Luke 22 and the part of that section, 22:63, and the men that held Jesus mocked him and smote him, and when they had blindfolded him, they struck him on the face and asked him, saying, prophesy, who is it that smote thee? And many other things blasphemously spake they against him. So, you know, you can just compare the gospel to see the different things that's going on. Blindfolding him, mocking him, spitting upon him, asking him sarcastically to prophesy. But one example in the Old Testament is at the beginning of the servant songs of Jehovah. We go back, and one of those is in chapter 50, and it says this, the Lord God hath opened mine ear. I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair, and I hid not my face from shame and spitting. And so, you know, we see these servant songs of Jehovah, these songs that Isaiah penned 700 years before the Lord's incarnation, and yet we see how vivid these descriptions are about things leading up to the cross and at the cross. The servant of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus, the one who did the Father's perfect will. And so details here, giving his back to the smiters, being spat upon, his beard being plucked, and so on. These things are happening or about to happen to the Lord. So we go back to our main text, or I should say, I'll just stay in Luke just a few more verses. Luke 22, if you're still there. The last verses of the chapter read, verse 66, and as soon as it was day, the elders of the people and the chief priests and the scribes came together and led him into their council, saying, art thou the Christ? Tell us. And he said unto them, if I tell you, ye will not believe. And if I also ask you, you will not answer me, nor let me go. Hereafter shall the Son of Man sit on the right hand of the power of God. Then said they all, art thou then the Son of God? And he said unto them, ye say that I am. And they said, what need we any further witness? For we ourselves have heard of his own mouth. So, of course, they don't have a clear understanding of what he's really about, what he's to do. They don't want any conflict. They don't want any political problems. They don't want any issues. They don't want anyone that's talking about having power and authority. And so this is how they respond. And so back to our text, the last few verses of this section. And so I'll pick up at verse 24. Now Annas had sent him bound unto Caiaphas the high priest. So we kind of have been dealing with that. Verse 25 to 27. These last verses, the text picks back up with Peter. And it tells us about the second and third denial. Where again, if we were in the other Gospels, I think they're generally kind of grouped together. Here we see it split. So I'm going to read in Luke in a moment just to tie it together. But here it says, and Simon Peter stood and warmed himself and said therefore unto him, art not thou also one of his disciples? He denied it and said, I am not. One of the servants of the high priest, being his kinsman, whose ear Peter cut off, that was in the beginning of chapter 18, saith, did not I see thee in the garden with him? And Peter then denied again. Immediately the cock crew. The parallel passage in Luke, I'm reading 22:58. So I'm kind of backing up from where we were. 22:58. And after a little while, another saw him and said, thou art also of them. And Peter said, man, I'm not. And about the space of about an hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, of a truth, this fellow also was with him. He is a Galilean. Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately while he yet spake, the cock crew. Verse 61. And the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and wept bitterly. So I wanted to read that text too, because here we see where it talks about that phrase we hear people quote at times. And he went out and wept bitterly. And so here it's so important when you take the context of John, because we're going to see this same one that went out and wept bitterly. He caught the eye of the Lord. If prophecy about him was fulfilled. Oh, I'll not deny you, Lord. I'll die for you. He sees his eye. He knows he was wrong. But by the end of John, the last chapter, that's when he swims to the shore. The Lord's already resurrected. And the Lord's saying, Peter, feed my sheep. Do you love me? Feed my sheep. And so there's restoration for Peter. So this chapter 18 fulfills what the Lord said to the upper room ministry to the disciples in 13 about Judas and also about Peter. One obviously betrayed him, Judas, and he went out and hung himself. And then we see here with Peter, eventually we see him restored and used mightily by the Lord. So with that, that's perhaps a good place to stop. The Lord willing, I intend on picking up Sunday morning at verse